What is your attitude toward hearing the Word of God? Do you get excited about the prospect of hearing God's Word? Do you not care? Are you ambivalent, uncaring, indifferent, apathetic toward the hearing of the Word of God, or excited, enthusiastic, joyful? This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to finish up our study of the parable of the sower. And we're going to look at the two final soils that Jesus talks about in that parable, and they represent individuals who hear the Word of God and have either a bad reaction toward it or a good reaction toward it. We've looked already at hearts that are hardened, the wayside soil. We've looked at hearts that are shallow, the rocky soil. This morning, as we conclude our series of lessons on the parable of the sower, I want to look at crowded hearts, and I want to look at good and honest hearts. All of us respond in some way to the Word of God, good or bad, and the parable of the sower is teaching the possibility of different responses. Of course, we want to be the good and honest heart. We've studied on this program recently the sower, the one who sows the seed, and various lessons about him or her. We've looked at the seed itself, which is the Word of God. We've looked at the other two soils, and now it's time to wrap it up by looking at the thorny soil and the good and honest heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, and we've been looking at Luke's account, it's also in Matthew 13 and Mark 4, that some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it. And then later when Jesus is explaining that, he said, those that fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. The third soil, the thorny soil, represents hearts that are crowded out by the things of this world. The soil is so infested with noxious weeds and thorns and thistles and briars, they choke the seed, which is the Word of God, and they yield no fruit. A lot of times people will hear the Word of God and they just simply go away. The seed cannot grow in their heart because it's choked by worldliness. And it becomes unfruitful or doesn't grow at all. It does not reach maturity. In other words, the seed has too much competition from the weeds. When sin entered into the world with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:18, one of the curses involved thorns and thistles and weeds, and it's something that we have had to contend with ever since. And I do that with my flower garden or vegetable garden. Maybe you try to grow something outside and you always have to pull the weeds. If you want the good to grow, you've got to get the weeds out. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. So let's talk a little bit this morning about the thorny soil and then the good soil. Jesus said that in the thorny soil, the Word of God is choked out with three things: cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Let's talk about those three things for a little bit this morning on the program. What is choking out the Word of God in your life, friend? First of all, Jesus says the cares of this world or this age. The idea there of that word is literally to draw in different directions, to distract. And so here's a person who is distracted from the Word of God with other things. They don't necessarily have to be immoral things. I would argue a lot of times they're not necessarily bad things, but they are things of this world that distract from the importance of hearing and obeying the Word of God. And that could be a number of different things. Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, the necessities of this life. Things like food, shelter, and clothing. Matthew 6, 25 through 32, sometimes that can distract and people get focused on that rather than the kingdom of God. Sometimes the future, worrying about the future. Matthew 6, 34, always concerned about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year rather than taking care of today. The future and the uncertainty of it, people worrying about that will distract them. And again, not necessarily bad things. In the matter of Mary and Martha, when Jesus was in their home, Martha was distracted and cumbered about with just getting the meal ready and getting the things of the home ready. Those are not necessarily bad things, but it took her away from listening to Jesus, and that's what Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard him, and Jesus said, "She hath chosen the good part." And so we've got to understand that the devil is competing for the Word of God. The devil is competing for the Word of God. For every opportunity that the Word of God goes out in this community, the devil is going to try to throw something to compete with that. Distract, take your attention away from that, like a flashy billboard sign. Take us away. So things on our phone, often, things on the computer, things on TV, friends, various worldly ideologies, they take us away from the truths that are found in the Word of God. Sometimes we're taken off guard, and these things distract us, and they cause us to not allow the Word of God. And I think about in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, how Demas had been loving this present world and the cares of this life, and he went after the world and left Paul and the good work that was being done there. And so it can cause us even later to leave the Lord and the Lord's work. We've got to be careful about the cares of this world. We've got to learn to prioritize and put a premium on the Word of God. The second thing that Jesus talks about as a weed, if you will, is the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. And this is brought out in Matthew 13, 22 and Mark 4, 19. Riches in and of themselves are necessary to live. We need money to buy food and shelter and clothing, and it's good to have a job. But those things can be deceitful where we begin to bow down to that money. It becomes a god, or it leads us astray in some way. So we've got to be careful. The proverb writer talks about a simple prayer that he doesn't become rich and that he doesn't become poor so that he might deny God. Proverbs 30 verses 8 and 9. It causes us to get focused on ourselves and we rob God, Malachi 3, 8. They don't last. Riches and material things don't last, and we can't take them with us when we die, and the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10. When the Lord comes again and completely destroys this earth, where's your money going to be then? Where's the bank vault going to be and all the gold and the money? And if we have something tucked away at home or in the bank account or all these financial investments, it's not going to be around. So we can't take it with us. The pharaohs tried to do that. They stockpiled their tombs with all of these riches, and it sat there for hundreds and even thousands of years, and they did not take it with them. So it causes a deceit situation where we begin to trust in that. Many trust in their riches. And the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, he was told to go sell all that he had and give to the poor and come follow Jesus, but he trusted. And Jesus talked about that when he walked away, the rich people who trust in their riches, Mark 10, 22 through 24. He had a great attitude. He wanted to know what to do to have eternal life, and Jesus told him, but he loved his riches more than the Lord, and he walked away sorrowful. And it causes us to trust in money rather than the Lord, and it can cause us to neglect our soul. I think about the parable of the rich farmer in Luke 12, 15 and following. He tore down his barns and built bigger barns, and there's nothing wrong with being a good businessman and good, successful business individual, but he had neglected his soul. His soul was not right with God. He was spending all of his time on that and not on getting his soul right with God. And so Jesus tells these two brothers who were arguing over the inheritance, beware of covetousness. It can cause a person to neglect their soul. And it's for this life only. And material things can be a good servant, but it's a terrible master, and we do not need to be bowing down to it. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. We're not going to be able to take it with us. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So later in the chapter, Paul admonishes those, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. It can cause us to be proud, nor have their hope set on the uncertainty of riches. It can cause us to have the wrong hope or focus, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life, which is life indeed. So help others with it, not hoard it up yourself. So the deceitfulness of riches, and it can blind people. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the church at Laodicea was rich materialistically, but Jesus said that they were blind and naked, spiritually speaking. And so they were actually spiritually destitute while they were physically well off. And they needed to repent and change their life. So the deceitfulness of riches. And then number three, Jesus says the lust of other things, the pleasures of other things. This is the word from which we get hedonism or hedonistic. Someone who is engaged in the pleasures of this life that it's causing them to become immoral. Hedonism. But the pleasures of this life. Gratification of sensual desire, lusts, and pleasures, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. And it comes from a number of different areas. It can come from bad friends and bad company that we keep, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad company corrupts good morals. It can come from the pleasures of sin, Hebrews 11, and verse 25, the devil makes sin pleasurable and that you want to engage in that. And so people go after that. It's could be pleasures for personal gain. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, to spend it on your pleasures and lusts. In other words, the Word of God cannot get in because it gets choked out by our own personal lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, personal things that we want to engage in that are wrong, and it keeps the Word from growing. It could be excess. 2 Peter 2:13, a life of excess above and beyond and outside the boundaries of God's Word. And if you look today at TV, movies, music, videos, YouTube videos, music videos, a lot of times it has to do with this pleasure principle, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. A lot of it has to do with sexual immorality. So this pleasure, this hedonism, keeps people from having the Word of God in their life. And so it crowds them out. What we need, friends, is to have God's Word in our life. Get rid of the cares and the pleasures and the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, and let the Word of God grow up in the soil of your heart. You want seeds of God's Word, not weeds. And then last of all, of course, Jesus talks about the kind of heart that we want to have, and that is the good and honest heart. The good and honest heart, these are such as have an honest and good heart, and having heard the Word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience. And so, we want that good ground. Number one, it's not packed down and hard like the wayside soil. The Word of God gets in. Number two, it's not that rocky soil that's shallow where the seed has very little root and then as it comes up, it withers and goes away. We're not hardened. We're not shallow. And number three, we're not full of weeds. We're not choked out by these things that we just talked about. We're talking about a heart where seed can grow up and increase, can yield fruit. And Jesus says some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. So we need that honest and good heart. We need the heart that has an attention, that wants to hear, a conviction that wants to keep the Word, a patience that wants to endure with the Word, and a fruitfulness that wants to obey the Word. And so, let's talk about that for just a moment. By the way, Jesus talks about those that have a good and honest heart. We can be good. We are born good, and we can be good. There are various religions that teach that you're born inheriting Adam's sin. John Calvin and those who teach Calvinism taught that you're not good from the beginning. You're not inherently good. You're inherently tainted with sin and evil. But we're good. We're born that way, and we can approach the Word of God. Notice that goodness and honesty are necessary. So let's talk about that. Honesty. That which is admirable and fair. We're not born totally depraved. We're born upright. And we need to be honest with the truth. We need to be honest with the truth. And when we hear the Word of God, accept it as the Word of God. Just simply obey it. Don't start going into some dishonest, deceitful, telling ourselves how that we don't need the Bible or the Word of God. There are so many people that are dishonest. And when we think of dishonesty, we think of somebody who's like telling a lie. And that's certainly a way to be dishonest. But sometimes people are dishonest with themselves. They tell themselves a lie, or they're not straight upright with themselves. We need to recognize that God is speaking. It's His Word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when Paul was preaching in Thessalonica, they accepted His Word as the Word of God. And we just simply need to approach the Bible that way and just be honest about it and quit trying to dismiss the Bible as a fairy tale or the words of men or some old antiquated book that's not relevant for us today, or whatever excuse people come up with. We just need to be honest with the Word of God. And then Jesus says that they hear the Word of God and they hold it fast. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. We've got to hold on to God's Word. Stand in it after we hear it and believe it and obey it. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 2. We've got to hold on to our faith. Hebrews 3, 6 and 14 and Hebrews 10, 23. Hold on to it. Hold it fast. Don't let someone later come and take it away. One thing that is necessary here is patience. Endurance. Hold it fast and bring forth fruit, Jesus said, with patience. The word here means endurance or steadfastness. We need to endure good works, Romans 2, 7. We need to endure tribulations and problems, Romans 5, 3. We need to endure the waiting aspect until Jesus comes again, Romans 8, 25. We need to endure suffering, 2 Corinthians 1, 6. We need to endure trials, James 1 and verse 3. We need to endure any physical suffering that might come our way, James 5, 11. Life is not going to be just a bed of roses. It's not going to be candy land. It's not going to be just a party. Life is going to be challenging, as you know. And we're going to have to exercise some endurance and steadfastness. And there are people who start off well with the Word of God, but they allow difficult times, something in their marriage, something in their family, raising kids, something at work. We've recently gone through difficult times with the pandemic. We're now seeing economic hardships and inflation and other kinds of problems, but we've got to be steady and sturdy and stalwart. And we've got to remain through these difficult times, and God will reward you for that. We can't give up and quit. And then Jesus says that these individuals are going to bear fruit. It's important to bear fruit. Everybody is bearing some kind of fruit, either good or bad. And you and I need to ask ourselves, what kind of fruit are we bearing? In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in verse 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And then he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. We're known by what we're doing, not just what we're saying. And we need to remember that with regard to our leaders. Don't focus so much on what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. That tells you where they're really at. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's a lot of people out there that say this and say that, but it's not the person saying, Lord, Lord. It's the person who is doing the will of the Father. That's the person you know. You can know somebody by their fruits. But notice he says good or bad. Which ones are you producing in your life? We need to be fruitful unto every good work. Colossians 1, 6 and 10. We need to be constantly working the ground of our heart. Otherwise, these weeds will come in. You've got to constantly be working on your heart, or the good and honest soil will turn into something else. So let's go back through and consider that for just a moment. It's not a one and done. It's not a situation where once we hear the word of God and obey it, then we don't have to worry about our good and honest heart. We have to maintain that. We have to continue to cultivate that. So number one, you have to keep stirring up the soil of your heart. Number one, to keep it from being hardened and settled and packed down. Sometimes in my garden, I have to go out and get the rotor tiller out and keep that dirt loosened up so things can grow. It gets packed down. So you've got to keep that soil loosened up. Don't let it get hardened by the things of this world. Number two, you've got to go back through the soil and make sure that it is deep enough to where the seeds can be rooted and grounded, the seed of the Word of God in your life. Sometimes I have to go in and add soil in an area. I might buy a bag of potting soil and I might add that to an area of a plant. I want to beef up and better that soil so that that seed can grow. I don't want it to be shallow. I want those roots to get down and take hold and have some firmness. And then number three, sometimes I definitely have to. I've done this not long ago in the garden where you have to go in and pull out the weeds. And so it's something that you have to constantly work on in your spiritual lives as well. Friends, be the good and honest heart. Receive the word of God. Hold it fast. Bring forth fruit with patience. The word of God growing in your life is the greatest thing you need right now. And let's be that good and honest heart. And if you are, and I can help you to study the word of God, I would love nothing more than to get that seed growing today in your heart and in the hearts of those around you. And you can enjoy a life where that God's fruit is being born in your life. Friends, thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.